Ready to rock?
Ready to rock, dude.
Let's do it.
Excited.
Let's do it. Welcome to the Media Corps Minute. This is the third episode. It has been a while. The last two we did was probably a year ago. But we're in a new office. We're in a new studio. I got a new guest on, Mr. Greg Towner. And Greg is an entrepreneur, business owner, father, husband, and an investor. Mm-hmm. And Greg, what business do you own?
So we're a real estate company. Started investing into single family homes and small properties. Really a true, I think, American dream story, and have luckily been able to turn it into a commercial real estate investing, development, general contracting firm.
Yep. Yeah, I was before you got on this morning, I was trying to think back, like, when was like the first time we even got connected? And I was going well, back, because like the first time, we didn't even meet.
We didn't even meet. And we'll get into all of this, but I was working in corporate America still just about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And I was out in Colorado working for a healthcare company as their real estate director and construction director.
Yep.
But we had just built a self-storage facility, 368 units back here in Rochester, Minnesota. And you had contacted me.
I saw the sign. I literally just saw, like, I think it wasn't even open yet at the time, or it was just getting opened.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't even have an employee at it. I was running it remotely from Colorado, and you had asked, hey, would you like a video commercial to be done? And the price was very reasonable. And I thought, yeah, I could really use some help getting this message out now. This is my first self-storage project. So we didn't even meet. I just think I said, yes, let's do it.
Yeah.
A week or two later, you sent me the final product, and it's still on my website today. So that was how we met.
Yep.
Never would have thought, you know, you and I would form the connection and mutual respect and, you know, that we have for each other. But that's how life works. It's just, you never know where things are going to take you.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I feel like, yeah, like we've grown, you know, our relationship together, but plus just like our businesses have grown.
Yep.
Significantly, like over this, you know, year and a half that we've known each other. And
that's a beautiful thing. That's, you know, the more I find people like you, the more I realize that is something I really have to be strategic about, is searching out and finding these like-minded individuals who can help you be the best version of yourself, create the best business, and help each other just grow in all ways.
Absolutely. Well, I do want to kind of get into, you know, the beginning, but before we even start with that, kind of go over a little bit about like where Towner Companies is at right now, just to, you know, preface like what's going on now, where you're at. So then when we talk about the beginning, people will know kind of where you're at and how it started.
Yep. So right now we are heavily invested into self-storage. Mm-hmm. So if you think, you know, back over the last 10 years, there has been a lot of institutional private equity money coming into apartments, because apartment was the big boom. Housing is getting less and less affordable. More people want to rent and have the flexibility. So much money poured into that, and it drove the asset prices extremely high. So it's been very good if you've been in apartments, and housing is going to remain good. Mm-hmm. But it's getting tough to pencil out deals in the apartment space, just for me, maybe.
Yep.
So I started looking at self-storage because a mentor of mine growing up, someone I looked up to, he owned apartments and self-storage. He always told me self-storage was his favorite. So I just kind of had a dream of always wanting to get into that. Well, once I realized apartments were going to be pretty tough for me to make that work right now, I looked at self-storage, penciled out a project, had some help of people around me that were helping advise me. And we made that first project work. And then once I saw it start to lease up, you know, all my hopes and dreams sort of came true. And I realized how wonderful a self-storage asset is to have. And in addition to that, to getting back to the institutional money, institutions also know that self-storage really is a lag to apartments. So once apartments were going up that high, institutional money is starting to flow now into self-storage. And over the next 10 to 15 years, there's going to be a ton of money out there with all the inflation and money printing we just have gone through from the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that money is going to work its way into self-storage, which is very new. Self-storage has been dominated by ma-and-pa shops, people just like you and I owning our own place. Well, now it's big money corporations coming in and owning these. So we right now are trying to focus on developing a certain self-storage asset type that is going to be very attractive to an institutional investor down the road. That's where we are right now. By the end of the spring, we're going to have about 1,000 units, which is great. And to talk about growth and how things can happen and how crazy life is, you know, when we first bought our first rental property, I wanted to have, I told my wife, if I have one rental property, I will be happy. And I got one and I wanted 10. And I got 10 and I wanted 20. Yep. But it can go really quickly when you're focused. Well, self-storage, I think I told Amy, you know, when I retire, it'd be so cool to have 1,000 units. Mm. And now in about a 3-year journey, we're going to be at that point.
Yeah.
So that's where we are now. I love storage. I love warehouse type space. I just think there's going to be a huge need for that. And it's going to do very well over the next 10 to 15 years. But it doesn't mean I'm not open to other real estate asset types as well.
Yep.
And I'm trying to think of what are some of these next asset types that are going to do very well over the long term, because we really invest for cash flow, right? So we're not just buying something and saying, I hope this goes up so we can sell it.
Right.
We're buying something that has a strong cash flow margin so you can absorb a recession, you can absorb tough times, you can absorb vacancy. But the beauty of commercial real estate is the more cash flow it produces, the greater the price is. So you actually get both, right? You get the price continuing to go up as well.
Yep. Going back just quick, you know, to the idea of having one and then 10 and then 20 and then having, you know, one facility and then wanting 1,000 units and then being there, thinking big or big enough, you know, do you ever like, I struggle with it, you know, because I, you know, even the beginning of my journey, you know, in video, having my first camera that was probably $1,000 and seeing a guy, you know, I watched a ton of YouTube and that's kind of how I learned a lot of things. And seeing a guy that had a camera that was like $6,000, I'm like, never, never. There's no way. How? How would you do that? You know, to now having, you know, $40,000 cameras. And it's just like, I don't think we can... We shouldn't put ourselves in like a box. Like we, I have to constantly be pushing myself to like think bigger.
Yep.
You know, do you find yourself doing that too in a way?
I do. So it's uncomfortable. You know, this is slightly uncomfortable because you're putting yourself in a position that's outside your comfort zone, right?
Yep.
But you grow when you do that. Absolutely. So when we think right now, like right now, you and I, we think we're thinking big and we're probably not. And the beautiful thing I feel like about the internet, podcasts, YouTube, internet, Google, right? You can find anybody doing way more, way bigger, way better things. I don't know what I would have done 30, 40 years ago to find the type of information, support, people to truly look up to as role models had it not been for the internet and everything that provided.
Yep.
So that's really been helpful to me, is to look at other people. One person in my network, and he's a partner of ours too in some real estate deals, but Ryan Engelbert, he owns ETS Gym. He's partners with Adam Thielen and that. He was someone in my network who, you know, just at the time when he had one or two gyms, I thought he was the man. He is killing it. Now he's got like 30 gyms or something. So he was pushing himself to think bigger. He was someone in my network that I was able to watch in
physically
front of me
see,
and see him manifest these dreams into reality. So I...
Have you heard his story?
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys talked kind of about that? Because he's a good buddy of yours, isn't he?
He's a good buddy. We played college football together. He went to the Bengals for a short time period, broke his ankle or his foot, and then he went into training. So then he came back, and I was a young buck on the team. And he was training me and a couple other people. And then one year I even went down to Milwaukee for a summer and trained fully with him. So I got to know him really well through that time period and just been someone in my network that thinks big and is able to do things. So I think really, again, just to emphasize finding other people, either that you know or through the internet, who are doing bigger and better things, and then trying to relate it to your life and what can you truly, like, realistically accomplish.
Right.
And then if that's the realistic point, you know, double it or whatever. There's nothing wrong with not hitting a goal as long as your goal is high enough.
Absolutely. That's funny because, like, thinking back, like, to the whole, like, who is in my physical network that I was close to, you know, when I was starting, I was training with a guy at Anytime Fitness. We were just buddies. We'd lift together, and he was a trainer. And then he bought the gym, and it was actually Jameson who I had on a previous podcast here. Mm-hmm. And then he, you know, kept buying gyms, and he was like a couple years older than I was. And I was mm-hmm. like, well, what the heck? Like, mm-hmm. what am I doing? Like, he was just a trainer. Then he was like a GM. Then he just bought them, and then he keeps buying them.
Mm-hmm.
So he became kind of like that, almost like a mentor to me where yep. we would just meet. But he was in that direct network that I was watching him do all this stuff. And I'm like, what's he doing? Like, yep. what's going on? But he was actually one of the big motivators of, like, picking a day of when you're going to start, quit your job and do it.
Sure.
And that was like the big, okay, I'm going to, you know, put my job, my salary, you know, away. Yep. I have no income and start fresh. But yeah, he was a big motivator.
Well, and that's jumping off the deep end
yep.
and going all in, which I love, admire, and respect. And I did not really do it that way, right?
Well, let's get into that.
Yeah.
At the beginning, because yeah. like, you know, part of it is like, when did you feel like, you know, you wanted to either be an investor or, you know, a business owner?
Sure.
When did that begin?
I would say at about 5 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I'm lucky, both my parents, but especially my dad, when we were driving around as I was a kid, he would point out people to me that were doing really well. And he would say, do you want to be like that? And then he would point out someone who's maybe not doing so well or is making bad decisions, right, that are having negative effects. And he would point out that. And it was like, I didn't know what he was doing at the time. I'm like, well, Dad, of course I want that.
Right.
But then there was lessons in what he would explain of those people do in order to have and be those things. So I was as a kid. I had two uncles who were business owners too, who did very well. And I saw the type of lifestyle they had and the type of freedom of choice they had. So I knew I wanted to do that. But the reality of graduating from college and trying to, like I said, jumping off the deep end, you just can't go right into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to college for construction management. Love construction.
Where'd you go to college?
UW Stout.
Okay.
They have a great construction management program. Love construction. I worked in it as a, you know, kid growing up too, as a laborer and on job sites and whatnot. Got a job, luckily, because this was in 2010 when I graduated, right after the recession. So hard to find a job. I ended up getting a job with Adolphson and Peterson Construction, and they're a top 50 nationwide general contracting firm. So I got in with one of the big companies, mm-hmm. which was great.
They're in the cities?
They're in the cities.
Okay. Yep.
They also have an office in Colorado, and they were doing a project in Nebraska, and that was the job I got put on. So I go down to Nebraska. I'm on a $12 million memory care facility, ground up construction, sitting in a job trailer with a superintendent. And that was when I got to truly learn
yeah.
how construction really works and also realize, wow, I don't know anything.
Well, how much did college prepare you for the actual
job? You know, for me, I'm not a school guy. Mm-hmm. I don't like school. I'm not good at school. I have a hard time focusing and paying attention on if I'm not 100% interested. I don't feel like college helped me really at all.
Mm.
Especially with construction, there is so much of just needing to be in the field to truly understand how buildings come together and components tie in together. So I don't feel like college helped me a ton, but I was surrounded by a lot of like-minded individuals in the construction industry, and we all then went into it together and were able to stay a network and talk about things when we got together. So it helped a lot that way. But as far as just preparing you, I mean, I was as green as they come, and my superintendent had his work cut out for him to train me in. So anyways, went down the construction management route for a couple years, and you know, I was trying to save money and do all the right things, but it was just so hard. It was so hard. And I knew I wanted something different for myself, for my family, for my kids that I didn't have yet, but I just knew I wanted something different. And like
Do you know Amy at this point?
Yep. Amy and I met in college. Okay. Yep. So in fact, when we were in college, you know, I had no money, nothing to fall back on.
No.
Not even grocery money. So she was buying me groceries in college. Like it was rough for a while, right? Went through some tough times. But I knew once I got a job, and I knew that wasn't going to be the ticket to true freedom like I desire. Mm-hmm. I just thought real estate was going to be perfect for me. Because like I said, I had this mentor from my hometown of Onalaska who owned 400 apartment units and 400 storage units. So I just told Amy, this was before we got married, we need to buy a rental property. And she said, how are we going to do it? And I said, I don't know. So we talked about, well, we should maybe take a course on it, learn something. So we ended up finding a course, and then I was ready to take it. And this course was like $5,100.
Is it online or in person?
Virtual.
Okay.
In 2012, virtual, which is really cool to think about.
Yeah.
And that was a ton of money to me, ton of money to Amy. But we believed, you know, in the future and what we were going to do. But she said, not until we get married. Mm-hmm. And I was just like ready to go, right? I get obsessed about stuff when I'm on it. So we got married, took the course, learned how to do it. Yep. And the rest is history.
Well, that's awesome. So when you were working for the construction company, like at that time, when was it that you, like, was it then when you bought that first property?
Yep. Or? So we were up in Duluth at that point. I had changed jobs and I was working for Krauss Anderson Construction, another big time construction company. And I had wonderful mentors there, and it was awesome company in Duluth, Minnesota. We knew we wanted to get back to Rochester. And also when I was studying this rental property stuff, the sectors they wanted to focus on was education, healthcare, and technology. Mm. Well, home and Mayo Clinic.
Yeah,
and I said, I know Amy's going to want to get back here. So I truly wanted to get back here for investing in real estate, because I just thought this market was going to do so well over the next 30 years as all the boomers approach that age where they're going to need a lot of medical attention, right? So we came down here, bought two properties while we were up in Duluth, and then eventually moved down here. Then I actually took a career change.
How did it go buying those, but living in Duluth?
It went just fine.
Really?
Here's why real estate's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's really slow. If you miss a day doing a person, you know, you still have tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's not like day trading or, you know, or anything else that's really time intensive in the moment. It just moves so slow. You can see things coming a mile away. So we were able to come back a couple weekends periodically to see Amy's parents, which we would do. And on those times, we would try and schedule all of our in-person needs. We had a realtor who was helping us acquire some of these properties, and she was more than willing to give us a hand with anything. Mm-hmm. But it was very minimal of what you actually had to be there for. You know, once we bought them, cleaned them up, got tenants in, there wasn't really a whole lot else to do.
And you're still managing those two while living in Duluth.
Yep. We were, we didn't have a manager. We had tenants. We did all that. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So living in Duluth, you had the two, and then you moved down to Rochester.
Then we moved to Rochester. Krauss Anderson opened an office here in Rochester. So I was able to transfer down.
Is that why you moved?
That was why we were able to move.
Oh, right. Yep.
But in my head, I knew I was building this real estate business. So we have two rental properties, right?
Yep.
Well, in my office at our little Duluth home, in my office, I have a big frame thing that says Towner Properties LLC. Like in my mind, I'm building a huge real estate business.
Yep.
But in reality, I just had a rental property or two. So coming down here, It was just fortunate that Rochester had opened an office so I could transfer down here, have a salary still, mm-hmm. while I was focusing on my long-term dream.
And what was Amy doing at the time?
Amy was nannying up in Duluth.
Yep.
And then when we came back here, she started nannying down here again.
Yeah.
She was an interior design major, but after the recession, again, when we came out, yeah. that field was just like wiped away.
Yep.
Now it's come back really well, but we have three kiddos and she's a stay-at-home mom and helps me run the business big time too, which we'll get into.
Yeah.
But
so before we fully get into like what's going on in Rochester and how that progressed, how was like the, when was there like a mindset change? You know, was there a point in time where it just like flipped and it's like, okay, like this is what I got to do.
So,
or like, how did the progression go with
100%
how you're thinking?
So when I was in Nebraska, my father-in-law gave me the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, mm-hmm. which lots of people have read. If you haven't read that book, that's just like a must. And you know,
it's like the main like staple business.
It's like the staple business book. Yeah. But when you don't understand those things, they don't teach mm-hmm. that to you in school. Your parents don't teach you that because typically your parents don't know business either.
Correct.
Right? So when I read his book, then I downloaded as much information from him as I could and started understanding concepts like, you know, you've been taught one thing your whole life. You don't know what you don't know. There's other ways to do things. If you want different results, you have to do things differently. So just all those light bulbs flipped for me all of a sudden. So my mindset shifted probably 2 years before I even bought my first rental property. Because mm-hmm. the whole time before that, then I'm just figuring out, how am I going to do this? How am I going to save up enough money to buy one and et cetera? So in Nebraska is when my mindset shifted.
And was it kind of because of that book and just learning that new information and knowledge that was like, okay, there's something different out here?
You know, I think that was the tactical, technical, you know, blocking and tackling X and O's of learning how it actually works. But my parents got divorced when I was 21 years old, and then the recession hit and they went through a tough time with that too. So that's where I was talking about. I kind of saw something crumble a little bit and had no financial backing, and Amy was buying me groceries in college. So going through some of that pain and seeing what having finances fall apart and stuff looks like and feels like, it just lit a fire in me to never go through that again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that fire is just burning and it still burns to this day. Like there's just something I can't explain to people, like what motivates you, what drives you. I can't quite explain it, but I feel it in my stomach, in my chest, in my heart, in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened around then. And then luckily my father-in-law recommended this book, which mm-hmm. explained some of the X and O's and blocking and tackling of how to do it. And that's when it all came together. And I said, oh my gosh, I am going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 100% certain of it.
That's interesting because there is a point where you learn information like wise, but then there's also like the motivation that you have personally, and that's mm-hmm. personal to you and to anyone who's an entrepreneur or business owner, you know, that kind of drives them, but the information almost like unlocks it.
Correct.
You know,
well said.
My first book, Kiyosaki was up there, but my first one, I remember following these guys that were doing video and just further along than I was, and mm-hmm. I hit them up on Instagram and I was like, what do I do if I want to, you know, be doing this? And they said, read a book called Unscripted. And it was the first, you know, business book I've really kind of read or like got into, and the whole concept was like, and it was interesting because it just unlocked my brain on like how I thought about things. Because your whole life, you're growing up, you go to school during the week, mm-hmm. you have the weekends off,
mm-hmm.
You know, you're doing kind of what you're told, you have like homework and whatnot. You go to college, you know, you do the work during the week, mm-hmm. you have weekends off, and then you graduate from college with a degree, you get a job, you start making money, you buy a new car. You know, life goes on.
Yep.
You meet, you know, your significant other.
Mm-hmm.
You buy a house. You know, So there's you know, brand new car debt, there's new house debt.
Absolutely.
Then you're having kids, and then, you know, that costs a lot of money.
Yep.
I don't know about that yet, but someday. And you get to this point now where you're like locked into this job and you have a lot of debt and you're, you know, you're providing for your family. And there's a lot of times where he was saying, like, it even happened to him, like the author of the book, who I can't remember what his name was, but he was sitting in this, you know, Jaguar, nice job. And he's like, I hate my life.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting there like, I got the money, I got everything, but I'm not like doing what I want, because I had dreams and like aspirations of different things. And now I have so much debt and responsibility that I don't feel like I can go do those things.
You're stuck.
So is this like trapped. And trapped. And it was like this, how do you flip the script on what life teaches you and tells you to do? Stay in the lane, do it like our, you know, our parents told us to do it. And that, you know, their parents told them. And, that was when I was like, okay, like you gotta do it differently.
Yeah.
Like if you really want to, there's, and I kind of took it, and I still tell it to all my guys here now. And it's like, there's no rules in business. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, you know, you have to do it legally and ethically, mm-hmm. but like, other than that, there's no rules. There's no like, you know, if you want to try this and fail at that, you can. If you want to do this or try that, maybe it works out. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, you're paving your own path. And that was like the exciting part of it.
Yeah. I just like how you said it unlocks this new path for you. And if it clicks with you and it's exciting, when you get on that new path,
mm-hmm.
you see the world differently.
Yep.
So you're now, when you're seeing the world differently, you start expecting different things from it.
Yep.
And when you're expecting different things, there's an energy, electrical force field, I truly believe, between human beings. You start to then create the world around you via that path you see. You impose your will on the world around you.
Right.
And things start to come into place. So there's no doubt that, to me, that that's what's happening for you and what you're doing. Mm. These are dreams and visions you've had a long time ago. And now you're sort of kind of like sleepwalking through it at the moment, because you've just put out this energy to the world
mm-hmm.
that has allowed this to come through. But you do need help of somebody or something to unlock that path to get you out of what you've been taught your whole life. I have children now. So I'm trying to think, okay, I was raised very well, great parents, involved, sports, everything perfect. Both parents, though, worked jobs, middle-class lifestyle, and everything was good. Now I've gone on a little different path of true entrepreneurship, looking at the world differently. So now I'm thinking, how do I raise my kiddos a little bit differently? But I think no matter what, you know, when you're raising a child, you want them to be good kids. You want them to have good manners. You want them to understand how the world works. You want them to have security. You want them to go to college. You want them to get a good job, which is all kind of the things I realized once I got to that point that I didn't truly want and weren't going to. So I think everyone individually really has to make that choice to seek out that path, find it. And we're just, like I said, at this day and age, we are so lucky to have information at our fingertips.
Yep.
And I think sometimes I wonder.
Endless information.
But, you know, why do we as people have these hopes and dreams inside of us, right? It's because I think we all truly know deep down we could achieve it if we were to truly put our mind to it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that 100%. And with all the information we have, it's just the truth right now. So
I like that.
Yep.
So back to kind of like again, part of the beginning, you're in Rochester, you got two properties. I know you had, you've gone to, you know, owning a lot of properties. How did that all work?
So real estate's a capital intensive asset class, requires a lot of money.
You need cash.
So just very fortunate to meet a couple like-minded investors who wanted to.
Where'd you meet them?
Kind of through my brother.
Okay.
He helped out and they went to the same high school,
older
than me. And they're passive, so I keep them pretty nameless.
Yeah.
You know, they prefer it that way, silent investors. But that's how I met them. And again, this was in 2013. I was doing webinars, I guess you'd call it, or conference calls online, right? You think of what Zoom is these days. Like, was doing that in 2013, explaining, here's the two we bought. Here's how the cash flow is working. This is awesome. And I also had found some software that helped me forecast it into the future, 10, 20 years, and show all the fancy, you know, cash on cash return, internal rate of return type things you'd want to be able to see.
Yep. And show.
So I was able to, cast that vision of where it's going, and they were excited about it, did the first couple, things went well, and then just helped expand from there. So that's how we went from two to many, was right. by finding capital and partners who wanted to do it with us.
I was telling actually Damien in the truck, we were driving to Menards, and we were talking about investing and stuff, and it was something that you had said, you know, early on, and it seems like with like investing, you know, there's a ton of trust, mm-hmm. and you know, it seems like there's a progression of somebody working with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Greg, I think you're a decent dude. I think you know what you're talking about. You know, let me invest $50,000 or something like mm-hmm. that in the first deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that went really well. You know, here's $100, here's $500. It's mm-hmm. like you build this trust with these people, you know, because there's no way that like, you know, I meet you and I go, well, here's $1 million, you know,
all
have at her before,
yep.
like you've, you know, proven yourself or
yep.
things like that. So there's got to be that trust and progression that happens between you and your investors.
Yeah. So, and we have many partners at this point and a lot of future partners who are excited about what's coming, who are mm-hmm. going to be doing that thing you just said of, hey, yep. here's a little bit. It's still enough to own enough of shares in the nope. in the asset to make it worth it for them. But if they were to lose it all, it would give them a bad month, not a bad year or two, yeah. right? So, yes, they start that way. I'm happy to say we have all of our same partners since we started.
Mm-hmm.
We have all our same partners. We have all of our, I use the same brokers. I have the same insurance agent. You know, we've kept the same people since we've started, mm-hmm. and it's been a slow moving train built on trust, built on reliability,
yep.
built on doing what you say you're going to do, built on overperforming. And the most important thing in a partnership is when things don't go quite right, that's when trust is truly tested.
Right.
Are you going to hang in there? And I have worked through any sort of conflict with all of my partners and came out better for it and continue to grow and grow and grow. Mm-hmm. So very fortunate for that. But that's something I'm very proud of, is to Absolutely. Have the same partners this long. And we're just getting started.
The longer you go, do you see like more people in your network that's, you know, learn about who you are, like get excited and go, hey, like I want to be a part of the next one.
Yes.
You know,
Social media is a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to really share and give insight into your life and your business. And then people see it. And when the time is right for them, they're able to reach out and connect and say, hey, is there an opportunity to get involved in a deal? And a lot of times it's not right. You know, it's mm-hmm. not. But there's those few times where that trust is there and everything's put in together where it does come together. So there are a lot of people who see what's happening and see the growth. And then I think realize, hey, you know, when investing, you don't invest in the company or the asset, you invest in the person,
right?
The people involved. So I think when they've seen this path of growth and continuing, they're not so interested in this one asset has mm-hmm. this type of cash on cash return and these numbers. I think it's more, we believe in Greg and Amy mm-hmm. running Towner companies. And we want to take a portion of our dollars we've set aside, instead of putting it into a 401k or a Roth IRA,
right.
we want to put some of this with this business and see where that takes us, because we think that's going to help us get some different results.
Mm-hmm. So even with that, like, do you and Amy, you know, like you've had to like build these relationships over time, right? Mm-hmm. Like these aren't people that you just have known really well right off the bat.
Nope.
And, you know, that's gotta be exciting too, being able to like, you know, even for us, like I'm thinking like, oh, like we got to have some kind of, you know, cool party and just have all of our, you know, our clients come in or something like that where we can give back, or, you know, people that are like putting money in with you guys, like mm-hmm. do you do things with them or, you know, to like build those relationships stronger?
So we have constant communication. Mm-hmm. We don't do a lot of get-togethers and things like that because everyone is so busy. Everyone mm-hmm. has family, kids, right. sports events. So to try and get everyone, like we had our ground baking that you helped us document yeah, yeah, this yeah. year for the other storage facility. And we only had about half of our investors there. Because yep. even though they're investing these big dollars into it, people are so busy. Yep. So we don't do a ton of get-togethers that way. To be honest, all that I focus on is doing the job that I told them and promised them I would do. Mm-hmm. That's what I focus on. Everything in between, yes, we stay in contact. Yes, we have genuine love and respect for each other right. and closeness on different levels with some, but that's there. We just, you know, there's no amount of swag, coffee cups, sweatshirts, right, things right. like that, yeah. throw a party that I can do for someone. It doesn't matter mm-hmm. if you don't perform and do what you say absolutely. You're going to do. So we do some of that, mm-hmm. but we focus right here.
It's still the performance and the results.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
And that's what keeps them invested and more people excited.
Yeah. So like, I would want to do way more of what you described. Yeah. Have all these things come on in.
I mean, I'm doing it because like I just think it's fun.
It's fun.
Have everybody in.
You know, and you want to give back too. You
know, exactly. And like we're so much of like what we've done, and I feel like our growth is, again, it's like yes, we're putting out a product that's, you know, better than people around. You know, but yes, it's still super like relational. Like yep. I know all of our clients. You know, I want to be invested in them and their businesses.
Yep.
Because I can also help, you know, be a lot more effective when I do that.
Yep.
But yeah, I just think it's, you know, it's one of those things where you feel good when things are going well enough to where you can kind of give back like that and you
yep.
know, host those
kind and of show things. Your appreciation and support yep. and those sort of things. Yep. yep. You know, I think a handwritten letter goes a really long ways.
Yeah.
I need to get back into that this year. I haven't done that over the last year, but that was another thing I used to do was just periodically,
yep.
if I was sending a distribution, oh, by the way, thank you. Mm-hmm. None of this would be possible without your support,
yep.
and it's changed my life. And just something like that periodically mm-hmm. goes much further than some of the other more fancy ritzy ditzy things right. that we try to do sometimes, right?
Yeah.
So that's my goal for 2022 right there.
I like that.
More handwritten notes.
I like that. So I want to kind of touch on just maybe struggles that you've had in business, maybe personal life, anything mm-hmm. like that, kind of doing that. But before we get into that, I want to touch on like, okay, you have the investors now. You have more of the money, you're buying more and more properties. How many properties did you end up getting? Because I know that you sold your portfolio
yep.
of residential homes. Just kind of walk us through like how many you had, how that growth happened, and then how the sale happened. And
sure.
then before we get into like the commercial stuff.
Sure. So this will be really relatable. I think if anyone's out there who is looking to invest into real estate, listen to this very clearly. What, call like me. I said, I don't call me. Nope. I don't need calls. This is free information. We took the course,
yep.
found the formula of what works. Okay. Here's the price. If you're getting this for rent, here's how much you can pay for a single family home or a duplex, right? It changes a little bit when you have a duplex or a triplex because you have shared utilities, shared trash, single family home. The tenant pays for all those things. So there's just formulas predetermined, figured out. So then I said, okay, here's in Rochester the type of rents I can get.
Yep.
Now here's the price of these homes that we can look at. Now this was in 2012 and 2013. Things had just bottomed out. We're coming back up and people were concerned that all prices are getting higher, but we just knew there's a long runway to go. So we had that formula. So I would go through the whole MLS of every single property for sale. There was a ton at that time. Yeah. and find 10 properties that would fit that formula. Now, if you look, you're lucky to find one.
So your rent numbers dictated what you could buy a property for.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, you reverse engineer it from your cash flow. So once I knew here's the price I could pay for a 3-bed, 2-bath home, right, which is the perfect rental home, then I anything that fell into that, I would look at the pictures online real quick. And if that all looked good, right, a renter is looking for a good property. They want to pay a fair price. They don't need a perfect property that they have to pay super high rent for.
Yep.
So once those checked off from the picture standpoint and the location, which we knew was good, which I didn't know Rochester, so I had to rely on Amy for all that. Then we would, I'd have my realtor go look at those 10, and three of them would come back as good ones. Well, I already had the capital set up now, so we'd put offers in on all three of them.
Yep.
And sometimes I'd get all three. Sometimes I'd get into the inspection process on one and due diligence and find there's something wrong I didn't want to deal with. But that was the formula. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
That was all we did. It's that simple. But if you don't have the formula, if you don't have the blocking and tackling figured out of how you're going to do it, you could never accomplish what we were able to accomplish because we were able to grow and go very fast because of that. Like I said, real estate
it's taking the questions out of it.
Like takes the questions out of it, takes the guesswork out of it. You have more of a analytical and data-driven approach to how you're doing it. The banks love to see that, right? So that's we ended up having 35 properties total when it was all said and done. And then, like you said, we just sold that portfolio here in 2021, focusing more on commercial assets now. I still think single-family home and those asset groups are going to do extremely well. Now, I'm not worried over the next 3 years. Like, I do not like when people are like, is the market going to crash next year? Is it going to crash? I'm focusing on the next 10 to 15 years. I am not going to buy anything that I'm not willing to hold on to for that long. Now, like we did, we ended up selling these 8 years later, so I didn't hold on to it for 10 or 15 years, but we could have,
right?
The asset supported itself where you could have. So that, you know, single-family home, duplex, affordable housing will continue to do very, very well over the next 10 to 15 years. So we didn't get out of it because of that. In commercial assets, though, you would just have more scale, economies of scale, and you can just get a little bit more done without 35 of them, but maybe two of them or three of them, right?
Just quick, did you have a management company that took care of those, or did you guys
So like any entrepreneur, right, you end up finding out there's all these businesses that, you know, there's all these things you can do, spokes of the wheel, we call it. So, we managed it, and by we, I mean Amy, my wife, who is extremely talented, extremely smart. I wanted to have her on the podcast, as we talked about, but... You know, she's been out of the business a little bit the last year because we just had our third kid. So she's at home running that whole operation and really focusing on that, which is awesome right now because she'll never get this time back. But she did all the property management for everything. And same thing, like I talked about having a formula. What I'm not good at is having the best process for operations all the time because I'm so creative in my head and I like to think of the new thing and I get excited, where she's very... you know, even keeled, methodical checklist. So she managed it all. Even when we started having kids, she'd bring our kids right along to showings and just awesome.
Yeah. I mean, when you have kids, you can't, you just bring them along.
Like
have them, you know. You can't be like, oh, I can't do anything. I got to do this. Like, no, just.
And there was a healthy balance between Amy and I. She has such a good family oriented soul that she really knows when to pull me back a little bit. But like when we started having kids, I was still in full go mode. Right. So that was a transition for me big time to have to slow things down and start to realize what's truly important in life.
So you had 35 properties. You sold those this year, but even before that, you had the West Circle Storage here, and you had already broken ground on, you know, the one by Fleet Farm coming up, and the boat and RV is going. So it's not like you just did all residential and then sold that and then switched over commercial. It was, you know, again, it was just part of the process, and now they kind of work together, and now you can, with that, you know, being sold, you can really shift focus, it seems like. You know, to those commercial assets. So with everything going on, you know, being kind of caught up now, what kind of struggles did you face again, if it be business, personal, mental, anything like that,
yeah,
through the journey?
So a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. I don't do well with stress. I want everything to be buttoned up and perfect and going, and issues come up and they're real, real scary issues now, right? They're not working for someone else where if something goes wrong, it's not really your issue. Mm-hmm. So I would say just a lot of stress that comes with that early on. I was obsessed with building my business to an unhealthy level, most likely, but I believe you need to have that to I needed to, at least. I don't claim to be the smartest person in the room ever, but I know how to surround myself with really smart people, mm-hmm, and outwork most people. So I was obsessed. So there was a lot of sacrifice of people around me, people close to me, who this wasn't something I sat down and had a conversation with them about. I didn't know how to do that. I just was focused on what I was going to do, and there was nothing going to stop me. Mm-hmm. So some friends and relationships maybe weren't as healthy as they should have been because I was sacrificing so much for this one sole purpose. And then, you know, I would say we didn't chat on this, but I ended up transitioning into healthcare and working in facility management, construction management, and real estate within the healthcare sector, which was awesome. But I then had big teams to lead too.
Yep.
So I had so much energy I was pouring into that, and energy I was pouring into the business, that I didn't have as much energy just for really anything else,
right,
for a long time. Now, that's part of the sacrifice you go through. And luckily I have an extremely supportive wife who understands that, was on board with that with me, and, you know, have been able to kind of now at this stage in life refocus on building some relationships and friendships that, mm-hmm, for a long time I was just sacrificing that part of my life for this one focus.
And you have to.
I think you do.
You know.
I think you do, because everybody is partying on the weekends, right? Everybody is doing their Wednesday, Thursday night activity. When you're working a corporate, even if you're not working a job, you need to work 80-100 hours a week to truly build something magnificent if you're gonna. And that just requires a total sacrifice, in my opinion.
To me, it was, you know, there's such like a hyper-focus tunnel vision almost. And yes, you're sacrificing, but it also, for me at least, it didn't feel like a sacrifice, mm-hmm, because it's what I wanted to do.
You bet.
Did you feel that?
I did. And that was, I think, like, now I'm 34 years old, right? I was 24, 25 when I started at this hard, and I think 26 when we bought our first property. Mm-hmm. But so I'm looking back on some of this now in retrospect and realizing some of the things, like I said, about sacrificing some friendships, some relationships, some people around me who just all of a sudden I was focused on this.
Yep.
I've never been happier than when I was in that zone building this, when we didn't have it, when I was on the path. It was invigorating. It was inspiring. I was, even little wins, it was like, it was incredible. I was addicted to it, right? It was amazing. So I was extremely happy during that time. But you do sacrifice a lot of things around you in order to be hyper-focused like that. And there's some challenges and struggles that come with it that you realize down the line. And then that's where you just continue to shift and grow and adapt to be as well-rounded of a person and business owner as you can be.
I think part of like being an owner or an entrepreneur is, you know, and you'll hear people say it, but like how true it is, of, because the whole time it's not just uphill, it's not just smooth sailing, you know, like there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of crap that goes on that you gotta handle. There's a lot of hours, but to be able to enjoy that process, I think, is so important. You know, like you said, like, you know, if we're enjoying what we do, like, you know, I don't do this to just go, this is where I want to be, so I'm going to do all the stuff that I hate until I get to this point,
Yep.
and then it's going to be just perfect.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, you have that life, that goal that you want to get to, but you have to enjoy what you're doing and who you're surrounded with. And, you know, so like the process itself is exciting,
yep,
and fun and keeps you, you know, motivated and like.
100%. And I would say too, delaying gratification and you keep kicking the can down the road and reinvesting, right? Yep. So now you've built this business, you're making some additional money. Like for me, on top of my corporate job paid for our living expenses, put a little bit away, you know, into that sort of thing. But we have this additional funds coming in now. It was, if not 90%, it was 89%, you know, was reinvested into future deals to keep things going. And there was times where it would have been so nice to just grab a lot more of that and do some personal things. But that was another part of the sacrifice you have to make to think bigger, like we talked about earlier, and to keep things going, is to reinvest almost all of your business funds that you're making into the next things to keep building up the snowball bigger and bigger so that eventually, you know, you can do that full time like we do now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, yeah, I don't buy any toys.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I mean, for a long time, it was just like, you know, and we continue to do that, obviously.
Hey, me either.
But yeah, that's right. Well, I had to buy mine after you bought a bigger one than
right.
my first one.
That's so. Right. And that's a fun stage to be at now. Right. But when I was 25 to 30 exactly. and could have made some splashes on some things, to be able to just choose not to and keep going
right.
pays dividends big time down the road.
So this happens to me. I'm wondering if it happens to you. Like, do you ever stop or like look back and see like old photos or, you know, things like that? And you're like, just what in the world? Or like, how did that happen? Or, you know.
So I believe in God 100% because I look back at things and I realized I have truly been blessed. Mm-hmm. I'm lucky. There is someone or something else looking out for me. And that's all I can say to that.
Yeah.
There's no doubt, put one foot in front of the other and work hard and all those things.
Nope.
But there's also something magical happening. And that's all I can
say.
It's
crazy. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I love it. I did want to touch on to kind of where you see even like Towner Companies in the next 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to go like, where are you going to be in the next 10 years? It's like, well, that's, you may have a plan for that, but it's so far out.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like business moves so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't, it's driving me crazy. But
that's right.
Just even like 3 to 5 years, like you can progress significantly. You know, where do you see it going? Where do you want it to go? How does that look?
So the play, this is another free nugget for people out there. With you hear about inflation right now, right? Everyone's talking about inflation because we had a recession. So what does the government do, right? They print money to put money back into the circulation of funds, and it trickles its way into everything, and everything ends up going up in price because there's more money supply, right? That's why Bitcoin's booming. Real estate's always been kind of the Bitcoin. I hope people realize that. And real estate will always do very well too, in my opinion. But debt is cheap right now. So debt is a beautiful thing. Good debt versus bad debt. Back to Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, teaching you those principles. I love good debt. We have no personal bad debt, no credit card debt, no personal car debt, no boat debt, right? No debt. On the business side, we love debt.
Yeah.
Why? Well, debt's at about 3.5% right now. Let's say 3.5. Some, if bigger, you get 2.5. I know there's all sorts of different rates people can get. Well, if inflation is at about 5% right now, which it is, you're better off borrowing money, paying interest on it, and letting inflation do its thing in general. Now, that's a very hard concept for some people to understand, but you're just going to have to trust me on that one if you don't understand how I'm explaining that. So where do I see myself going into the future? Taking advantage of the historically low interest rates, getting as much good debt as I can, backed buy strong, tangible real estate assets that mm-hmm. provide cash flow. And whatever I can find that fits and checks those boxes for me, that's where we're going. Now, whether that's going to be, you know, $50 million worth of deals or $100 million worth of deals over the next 3 to 5 years, we will see, mm-hmm. right? But that is my focus.
Kind of fit the, yeah.
Good debt.
I like it. So someone wanting to, maybe watching and, you know, has taken a lot of things away, but again, they're working, they're interested in investing, they go and they see, okay, you know, I don't want to just dump all my money into retirement or 401k, I want to own something and have an asset. Where do they start?
So I think first you have to find a book or a source, something that can help explain to you asset liabilities, income, expenses, cash flow, net worth, a financial statement. You have to be able to learn what a true financial statement looks like. Mm. Kiyosaki always says, when you go to a bank, they don't care what your report card said in school. They want to see your financial statement. So if you don't know what a financial statement is and understand how one works, I would start there, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Then you start to realize, as you plug assets into that, how the cash flows through a financial statement and how it works. Once you get that picture in your head, you know what you're doing. Yep. So to focus on real estate specifically, since that's what I did and do, anyone can do it. Anybody can do it. Start small. Mm-hmm. Buy one property. It's the hardest one you'll buy. The hardest, the scariest, the most risky.
Yep.
It's the hardest. Buy one. Just start there. Don't even worry about step 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 down the line. Just do that. Once you do something, mm-hmm. you learn all the steps involved, whether you yeah. were prepared for it or not. You will learn it, good or bad. Then you'll know where to go next from there. Mm-hmm. So I think just taking that first step.
I do hear a lot, like, you know, working with different investors and stuff like that, just that it is so much of a learning experience. There's no like just perfect knowledge of, okay, I know exactly what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to, you know, like you can have an idea.
Yep.
But until you do it, you're not going to know everything.
Yeah.
So they just say like, get that first one.
Learn
from the mistakes.
Yeah.
And keep going.
And then really, if your first one and things go well and you're able to delay gratification and keep rolling things into the next thing, do that. I mean, just so people know how it can work. 2 or 3 years after we bought our first property, Amy and I became millionaires mm-hmm. through real estate. Now, I still worked my job until about a year and a half ago. So I worked 6 years in my corporate job mm-hmm. in a place where you could, you know, but we didn't want to do that. We had to delay gratification and keep grinding yep. to get things to a point. So that's what I would just add to is you can fully become a millionaire through investing in real estate, 100%. I think it's the easiest way to do it out of all the different businesses. Like starting a business like you did, that's really hard. I mean, you're in it every day and you are mm-hmm. a creative genius and you know what you're doing and your team is amazing around you. That's harder than than working your corporate job for the next 10 years mm-hmm. and buying a property or two over time and getting yourself $1 million or $2 or $3 million worth of real estate,
yep.
you know?
Yep.
So anybody can do that.
Absolutely. Well, sweet. It's been a pleasure having you on today.
Let's do it again.
Absolutely. Learned a lot. I hope you guys learned a lot or took something from this. And number 3 is in the books.
Yeah. If I could just add
absolutely.
For real estate people, on my website, townercompanies.com, when I had my back surgeries a few years ago, talking about this before That's the right. show, I was off of my job for 3 months about in total, because I had 3 different back surgeries over a couple months. But I wrote a bunch of blog posts, sort of just explaining my views on real estate, how to start investing in real estate, how it works. So I just encourage, if you want to know more
free information.
About the stuff I'm saying, right? Because I have one way I explain it. Maybe it resonates, maybe it doesn't. But if it does, feel free to go there and check that out. Mm-hmm. And if anyone, you know, would like some help down the road too, that's what I want to be here for. I see that as my next big act down the road,
right?
Is now helping people. Educating. I want to help the kid I was, who was scared, didn't know what I was going to do, and somehow I got lucky and made it, mm-hmm. right? So now I want to help those people pay it back.
Absolutely. Love it.
So thanks,
documenting,
man.
Yeah, documenting the process is just, it's huge.
Yeah.
Just being able to go back, look at things, how you did it. You know, I got interviewed by a kid yesterday, and just trying to think about specifically some of the stuff that was going on, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years ago. You know, it's hard sometimes.
Yeah.
So, like, document as much as you can, if it's video, photos, you know, blogs.
Journal.
I
have a journal.
Because you're going to want to look back at it.
Back in one more quick story.
Yeah.
So when I was up in Duluth, I used to drive over to Marquette, Michigan, which is 3 hours away along the South Shore of Lake Superior to do mm-hmm. a project for a big developer there. And I would listen to podcasts, obviously, both ways. And that's when I was learning lots. But I also journaled a lot then. And I would talk about, like, the things we're doing right now were all things I was journaling about and dreaming about, but putting mm-hmm. on paper. But then I was relating it back to what's happening in my life right now. So I love that you're saying that. I want to get back into that because it is so neat to go back and read those and understand who I was at that time and what I was thinking.
And you're going to wish you did it if
that's
you
haven't. Right. Yep. That's right. Yep.
Well, sweet. All righty. We will, if you want to. If you want to reach out to Greg, get on Towner, what is it? Which website?
Townercompanies.com.
Townercompanies.com.
Yep.
Well, Greg, it's been great.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Josh.
All righty.